I'm Pastor Richard Gamble, and the following message is made available by First Baptist Church of Bastrop, Louisiana. To find out more about First Baptist Bastrop, go to www.firstbastrop.org. That's www.firstbastrop.org.
You know, humanity can be cruel. People often love watching the misery of others. Think about it, throughout history, public execution has always been a something that draws a crowd. People like to revel in the misery of other people. And so as we come to that Friday, as Jesus has already suffered, He suffered humiliation at the hands of the priest and the elders of the city. He suffered humiliation at the hands of Pilate and Herod. He has been beaten to a pulp, and now they lead Him to Calvary's cross. And there they hang Him alongside two criminals, and they raise Him up. And as they raise Him up, people begin to mock and accuse Him. They begin to spit upon Him and humiliate Him even more. They call out things like, "You saved others, save yourself, King of the Jews. Oh, if you really are the Christ, well, why don't you just save yourself?" Well, even one of the criminals join in the mockery. "Oh, why don't you save yourself and us too?" This crowd is having a good time at other people's expense. They're having a good time at the expense of our Lord and Savior. At the sixth hour, which was about noon, something spectacular begins to happen. Jesus has already been hanging there a couple of hours at least. But now at noontime, something spectacular begins to happen, and people begin to take notice. Because out of nowhere, clouds begin to roll in and fill the sky and completely block out the light of the sun. And here we come to the hour of death. The hour of death, which was not an hour, but more along the lines of about 3 hours, as we'll see in our text. I'm reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49, as Luke records the death of Jesus Christ. "It was now about the sixth hour," that's around about noon, "and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour," that is about 3 o'clock, "while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus called out with a loud voice and said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, 'Certainly, this man was innocent.' And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things." As we consider Jesus' hour of death, as Luke records this time of death for us, we see a number of things taking place. a number of wonderful things taking place. First, we see that the hour of death was the hour of judgment. The hour of death was the hour of judgment. Think about this, as the clouds begin to roll in there around Calvary's cross, as they block out the noonday sun, as it becomes black, the people of Israel understood that darkness was a sign of God's judgment upon the land. It was a sign of God's judgment. You go back through the Old Testament. Take, for example, the Exodus. As Moses is working to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt, God sent a number of plagues on the people of Egypt, and one of those plagues was a darkness that could be felt. And throughout the prophets, you see these signs of darkness coming over a land, which indicated God's judgment. And here on Calvary's cross, as Jesus is hanging on Calvary's cross, the clouds roll in, indicating the judgment of God descending upon the land. But as God's judgment comes into Jerusalem, it's not on a people, but it's on one person. Because on Calvary's cross, Jesus was a representative for all who would trust in Him. And in that hour of death, from noon to 3 p.m., in that spot of time, the clouds rolled in and God's judgment was focused in on Jesus Christ. All of His judgment, all of His wrath for our sins was all focused on Jesus. Think about taking a magnifying glass out with the sun as bright, and you take that magnifying glass and you set it down, and you can focus the whole light of the sun on one little spot, and you can set the world on fire with a magnifying glass, taking and focusing the complete heat of the sun in one specific location. That's what was taking place on Calvary's cross. When the clouds of God's judgment rolled in, all of God's wrath was focused in, funneled down to Jesus. He wasn't just dying a death like those other criminals beside Him. He was receiving upon Himself the fullness of God's condemnation for our sin in our place. The hour of judgment, or the hour of death, was the hour of God's judgment upon all of us who believe in Jesus Christ. All of it being poured down upon Jesus. But this was not only the hour of judgment, this was also the hour of reconciliation. Because as the text goes on to say, in that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now, this was the time of the Passover. And at the Passover, the priests would gather to make a sacrifice on behalf of the nation. Now, in the temple, there was the Holy of Holies. That was the place where God's presence was said to dwell. It was in the Holy of Holies. That's where God came to dwell with His people, and His presence was in the temple in the Holy of Holies. Now, God is omnipresent, so He's everywhere. But the glory of the Lord was resting in the Holy of Holies so that God could dwell among His people. And there was a veil, a curtain that stood outside the Holy of Holies, and it separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the world outside. And no one could go beyond the veil, beyond the curtain, except for the high priest. And only in times of sacrifice, when he would go in and he would place blood upon the altar that was behind that curtain, making atonement for the people of Israel before the very throne of God. And when Jesus received upon himself our judgment and our place, God came down and he tore that curtain in two. No longer was there a wall of separation between God and his people. Now, because of Christ's sacrifice, reconciliation had been made. No need for a curtain. God tore it in two, opening up an avenue to God's presence, not just for the high priest once a year, but for all of his people who would come in the name of Jesus. It was the hour of judgment. It was the hour of reconciliation. This was also the hour that redemption was completed. It was the hour that complete redemption was completed. Our text tells us that as all of this came down, Jesus called out with a loud voice and said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. John's gospel adds that Jesus called out and said, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." It is finished. You see, all of God's judgment began to be poured out on Jesus at noon, but at 3 p.m., when God's wrath had been completely absorbed by Jesus, when every sin of ours had been paid for in full, once the work of redemption was through, Jesus said, "It is finished. There's nothing left to do. There's nothing for you to do. There's nothing for me to do." Jesus completed it all. He took the task upon himself and he did it fully until the act of redemption was completed. And then, and only then, did Jesus give up his spirit. He went through all of the suffering. He went through all of the beatings. He went through the humiliation. He went through all of God's judgment being poured down upon him. He went through it all until his work of redemption was through. And then and only then did he give up his spirit to the Father. Oh, praise the Lord. Because Jesus completed the work of redemption. Because he cried out, "It is finished." Dear friends, we can have assurance today that if we trust in Jesus, we have nothing left to do but to put our faith and trust and our hope in him. Your sin has been paid for completely and full, all by Jesus Christ in the hour of his death. In the hour of death, the hour of death was the hour of judgment, was the hour of reconciliation. It was the hour that redemption was completed, fully completed by Jesus. But we also see this. The hour of death was also the hour that salvation was made to all who believe, to all who believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, this is an amazing thing here in the text. We notice here that all of the Jews, they're cursing him, they're mocking him. But when all of this takes place, when all of this is done, Luke records for us that now when the centurion, the Greek Gentile centurion, the pagan centurion who had been following other little g gods, who was looked down upon by all the other Jews, all the Jews, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, the God of heaven, saying, certainly this man was innocent. It's amazing that what Luke records here is that it wasn't a Hebrew, an Israelite, who made this observation. It was a hated Greek, a despised Gentile, who looks up in this moment and says, surely this man is innocent. He praised God. Certainly this is the Son of God who's innocent. He doesn't deserve death. And in that moment, he trusted in Christ. In that moment, the hour of death, salvation was not just for the Jews only. Jesus is not just the Messiah, the Christ of the Jews, the Israel nation. But in the hour of death, Jesus opened up salvation to all who would believe in him. Every single person. No matter their past. No matter what they had done with their life before. This centurion had participated in Jesus' execution. And yet he walked away. Redeemed. Because he trusted in Jesus Christ. Because he saw who he was. And praise God for his Messiah. The hour of death. That's what makes Good Friday good. We talk about Good Friday. And when we think about what Jesus suffered, we think, what's so good about Good Friday? Jesus suffered, tremendously suffered. At the hands of wicked men, he suffered and was crucified. He was mocked. He was humiliated. But it's good because Jesus took on all of that willingly. We read that passage earlier where Jesus cried out to the Father, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus went to Calvary's cross willingly, knowing the price he would pay, knowing the suffering that he would endure, knowing the judgment of God that would be placed upon him, knowing that he willingly went to Calvary's cross. And he died for you and me. And we can rejoice today because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. I wonder if there's anybody who feels a little hopeless today. Look to the cross. Is there anybody that feels the weight of their sin weighing them down, pushing down on their shoulders? Do you feel the weight of sin around you? Look to the cross. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Look to the cross, the wondrous cross, upon which the Prince of Glory died. Look to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for the wondrous cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, we realize and we come and we think about the cross today with solemn hearts, knowing what Jesus suffered there for us. But Lord, we also come with glad hearts, knowing that it's only because he willingly suffered and died that we have any hope of eternal life in him. Thank you for the cross. That's what we deserve. But Jesus took it for us. Thank you for the cross. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen.